seated. And turn with me, if you will, to the gospel as recorded by Matthew, chapter 2, beginning at the first verse. We are reading today from the New King James Version, and our entire scripture lesson text can be found on the insert in your bulletin and on page 551 of your pew Bible. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people, Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Pray with me this morning as we examine this text with this thought in mind: seeking the king, seeking the king. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you once again for the privilege and opportunity of standing before these thy people. And Lord, we pray now that the words of my mouth and that the meditation of all our hearts will be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say amen. The story of the wise men coming to see the baby Jesus is a popular story this time of year. And it's been told year after year. But although it's been told many times, it has not always been told with the correct focus biblically. And it had not always been told completely accurately. In the cards and in the pictures and the movies, the three wise men are seen bringing gifts to the baby Jesus in the manger. But in the biblical account that we just read in Matthew, it tells us that the wise men found Jesus, Mary, and Joseph living in a house in Bethlehem at least 2 years after the birth in the manger. The shepherds came to see Jesus in the manger, but the wise men got there about 2 years later. And the other popular point of interest are the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus: the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. The fact that the wise men brought these very expensive gifts quite often is the focus of the story of their visit to Bethlehem. But I believe that the real focus of this story should be on what brought these three men to Bethlehem, not what they brought to Bethlehem. What was it that brought them to Bethlehem? That's the story. The wise men makes no secret about their purpose for coming. They ask the question, "Where is the king of the Jews? We have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." So they came seeking the king. And why did they come? Because they came to worship him. That is the message of the three wise men. And that's why they're called wise men, because they came seeking the king so that they could worship him. They wanted to receive a blessing from God and the blessings of God's kingdom, so they came seeking God's new king. And we need to follow the example of the three wise men. We need to seek the king so that we can receive the blessings of the kingdom. But how do we do that? How do we do that? Well, take a look at how the wise men did. And the answer of what they did is in the text. So let's turn to the text so that we may discover the requirements for receiving the blessings of the kingdom. Looking at the text again, beginning at verse 1, it says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" We have seen his star. God put a star in the sky to tell the world that he was about to do something special. The wise men saw the star and they were curious to see what God was doing. They saw the star and they began to study its meaning. They discovered that God had a prophecy, and he had given this prophecy to Israel that he would send them a Messiah. He would send them a king. And even though the prophecy did not involve them directly, they were not Jews, they wanted to take a part in what God was doing. Somehow they discovered that God's blessing to Israel would overflow to them if they put themselves in the right place. Perhaps they had heard of God's promise to Abraham concerning the nation that surrounded Israel. You remember God's promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12? Well, God says, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, and through you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." And they had read that, they knew that all they got to get closer to God's people, Abraham, and the blessing would be there for them also. The wise men may well have read those promises as they researched what God was doing with that star in the sky. In any event, they decided to position themselves to receive a portion of the blessing that God was about to pour out on the world through Israel. And that's why they could correctly be called wise men, because they saw God doing something and said, "I want to get in on what God is doing." That's wisdom. That's wisdom exemplified. God is doing something, you recognize it, and you position yourself to take part in what God is doing. That's wisdom. But first you have to see or recognize the fact that God is doing something. That God is doing something. The star in the sky was there for all to see. But only these three men recognized that that star was a signal that God was doing a great work. Only these three men took action based on what they saw. God sent the star as a signal to the world that he was performing a great work. And God sends signs into each of our lives to signal us that he's prepared to do a great work in our lives. But so many of us overlook, ignore, or fail to notice the signals that God is sending us. So many of us miss God's signals. And God uses a variety of ways to signal us that he wants to bring about a change in our lives. And we cannot stereotype or limit the ways in which God signals us. Sometimes God signals us through opportunities. Sometimes he signals us through hardships. Sometimes God is telling us to go forth and conquer. He says, "I've opened for you, I've given you an open door. Just go out and do these things." Other times God tells us to dig in for the battle ahead. You have some rough road ahead, but I'll be with you every step of the way. So God gives us different signals that he wants to move us and position us so that we can be in line with his will. Wisdom comes when we're able to see the hand of God at work in our lives and position ourselves according to the will of God. When we're able to see the hand of God signaling us, guiding us in certain directions, then we'll be in sync with the plan that God is unfolding. God's signal to you may come in the form of some unexpected news, some unexpected opportunities, or some unexpected hardships. You just have to go around. God is telling you that I'm about to use you to do something great in your life. Get close to me. Wisdom comes when you're able to look in your own life and see the light that God is shining in order for you to turn into his direction. We miss so many blessings because we're going about doing our own thing. God is telling us to get in line with me, and I'll give you the blessings. I'll take you through some rough roads sometimes, but I give you the blessing. The wise men saw the star of Christ and recognized it as a signal for them to join in on the work of God's kingdom. They came seeking the king. They said, "We have seen his star, and we have come to worship him." In order to receive the blessings of the kingdom, we must recognize the signs that God is showing us. We must recognize the signs that God gives us. But we must do more than just look at the signs. After we recognize what God is showing us, we must act. We must do something. Look again what the wise men said. "Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.'" We have seen his star, and we have come. Once you recognize that God is doing something special in the world, and when you recognize that God wants to do something special in your life, you have to determine in your heart that you're going to step out on faith. You have to go determine in your heart that this is what God wants you to do, and then do it. Then do it. You have to take that step. The wise men saw the star and recognized that God was doing something special. That's the first step in wisdom, recognizing God's handiwork. But if you stop there, you miss your blessing. If you simply acknowledge that God is doing something, but take no steps to bring God's grace and apply it to your life, then you haven't profited anything by the knowledge. You miss your blessing. But if you do what the wise men did, if you acknowledge that God plans to do something great, and then you proceed to do those things that will allow God's work to be effective in your life, you'll be able to walk in wisdom. You'll be able to walk according to the will of God. When you start walking in wisdom according to the will of God, you see the blessings start to flow your way. They'll start to flow all around you. You look around, you'll see that you're blessed on every side. If you run after seeking blessings, you'll never catch up with them. But if you just walk the path that God laid out, your blessings will catch up with you. Walking in wisdom means you have to do something. You can't stay where you are. Sometimes, and it seems like it's most times, that means leaving your comfort zone. It means doing things that you never considered doing before. For the wise men, it meant packing up and going on a journey, not knowing how or where that journey would end. All they knew was that God had given them a star to guide them, and they were following that star. We need to follow the light that God gives you in your life. He might not show you where the end is. He'll show you the next step. Just keep taking each step by faith. The message that we observe from the action of the wise men is that God's signals can often go unnoticed unless you look at them through the eyes of faith. To most of the world, that star was just another light in the sky among a thousand other lights. It may have been a curiosity to some, but it didn't have a thing to do with the price of tea in China as far as they were concerned. It did not affect their day-to-day lives of most people in the East. But to these three men, these wise men, it was a signal from God that he was unfolding his great and glorious plan. It was a signal for those who trust in the word of God to get ready to take action. Sometimes a sign from God calls for you to do something radical. And that takes faith. That takes faith and discernment. Faith means that you trust God. You trust God. Discernment means that you know the voice of God when you hear it. A lot of folks in the world today hearing voices, but the voice that they're not hearing are not coming from God. Right. Discernment means that you know that the voice you're hearing is from God. And how do we get that discernment? Well, both faith and discernment come from the Holy Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit's assignment to let us know when God is speaking to us. And Jesus assured us of that. Back in John chapter 16, verse 13, on that night before he was crucified, he explained that to his disciples. He said, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." So if you've never received the Holy Spirit, then you have no assurance that you're hearing from God. But when you learn to listen to the Holy Spirit, you'll be strengthened in your faith and in your discernment. The wise men saw the star, and they came to see the king. They did not just look up and gaze into heaven. They got busy in their own lives so that they could be able to see God's king. Matthew chapter, in verse 16, it says, when the king asked them how long they'd seen the star, they told the king about 2 years. So it was about 2 years ago that they had seen the star and began planning to make the trip. In those 2 years, they got their lives together in order so that they could make the most important journey of their lives, the journey to see God's new king. They got their lives in order and went the way that the Lord was showing them to go. And when they got there, they asked, "Where is the king? We have seen his star, and we have come." We have seen his star, and we have come. Too many people see God's star, but they don't come God's way. They put it off. They delay, they deny, they dispute the word of God. But when the wise see God's star, they come seeking God's king. When you recognize the signs that God wants to do something special in your life, don't ignore him. Don't deny him. Don't delay, don't dispute. Step out on faith and see God's king. Take the journey and leave your comfort zone. Declare like these wise men, "I've seen God's light and I have come. I have come." In order to receive the blessings of the kingdom, We must come to the place where God can use us. In order to receive the blessing of the kingdom, we must come to the place where God can use us, and God will lead us to that place. But we must recognize the signs that God is showing us and come to that place so that God can be able to put us right in square in the middle of his will. But when we come, we must come with the right purpose, with the right purpose in mind. We must come with our mind determined to do God's will. Look again what the wise men said. They said, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Have come to worship him. The wise men came with a specific purpose in mind. They came to worship God's new king. And even though they were not of the nation of Israel, they came to worship the king that God had sent to Israel. They believed the prophecy that had come forth from all the prophets of Israel. And that meant that they had faith in the word of God, even though it was not written directly to them. When you come to the word of God with faith, God blesses you no matter what direction you come from in the beginning, no matter where you started from. When you get to the word of God and accept that as truth, God is ready to bless you. When you approach God's word with faith, God blesses you. So the wise men declared that they came to see the new king, not as bystanders or casual observers, but they came to worship him. They came to acknowledge that God was doing a new thing in the world, and they want to be a part of it. We need people like that in the church today. People who come to worship God. People who come solely for the purpose of worshiping God. And we have those kind of people here today. I wish there were more of you, but I thank God for the people that we have. People who come just to worship God, just to praise God, just to honor God for what he's already done. This is where we celebrate what God's already done. We know he's going to do great things for us tomorrow when we leave here. We come here just to thank God for what he's already done. We don't need people to come to church for entertainment or come to see or be seen. We need people, every church needs people who come solely for the purpose of worshiping God. We need those kind of people because those are the kind of people that God's looking for. Jesus explained this to the Samaritan woman that he spoke to at the well one day. In John chapter 4, 23, he says, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." We want those kind of people because God wants those kind of people. Worshipful praise is the only gift that we can give to God. Praise is the only gift that we can give to God. When we give material gifts, all we're doing is giving God the things that already belong to him. They already belong to him. Psalm 24, David reminds us that the earth is the Lord's and all of his fullness, the world and all those who dwell in it. So think about that for a minute. We all know that we brought nothing into this world, and we can take nothing out of the world. So that indicates that everything that we lay our hands on down here, everything that we touch and claim, belongs to somebody else. And it can only belong to someone who was here before we got here and someone who will be here after we leave. And that someone is God. So that is why God does not get excited about the material things that we bring to him and give to him. God does not get excited about that, about our offering. Preachers may get excited, but God doesn't get excited about those things. From God's perspective, all we're doing is giving him back a portion of what he's already given us, and a small portion. We're just giving back, and we're acknowledging that he owns everything in the first place. We're just simply giving back to God, and that's a good thing. But the gift from us that God does get excited about is worship. That is what Jesus told the Samaritan woman. True worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. God is seeking. God gets excited about that kind of worship. That's the gift that God appreciates. That is the gift that God blesses. True worship is the gift that God wants from all of us. And the wise men brought material gifts of great value. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All those things were of great value in the ancient world. But those were gifts that they brought to the parents of Jesus. Because what would a baby do with gold or perfume or spices, even a divine baby? The gift that they brought to the baby Jesus, to the new king, was worship. What did it say? They worshiped him because they recognized who he was. We have come, they said, to worship him. We have come to worship him. And by the way, what happened to the gold and the other expensive gifts that the wise men gave to Mary and Joseph as part of their worship of Jesus. Remember, they brought all this gold and all that expensive stuff. What happened to that? What did Joseph and Mary do with all that loot? Well, if we take a look at the text again, keep reading to verse 13, right after the part where we stopped off, we'll find the answer. And we'll also get an insight into the providence of God. If you look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "Now when they," the wise men, "had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, 'Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him.'" God warned Joseph that he needed to get out of Herod's reach because Herod intended to kill the child. So Joseph, Mary, and Jesus had to leave Israel and take up residence in Egypt, a place where they had not been and where they knew no one. So don't you think that gold and spices and perfume would come in handy to a poor family that's trying to make a start in a new country? And don't you think that God knew that when he put those wise men on the road to Israel with those gifts in hand? Yes, he did. God knew it, and God provided for their benefit before they even knew they needed it. God had already worked it out. That's called the providence of God. God had already plans for everything that you're going to need to do his will. God already has it laid out. All you got to do is start walking with God, and it'll be there when you need it. The men came from the east were wise because they brought to God the gift that God required, and that gift is called worship. The gold came in handy, but the gift that God appreciated was the desire to worship him that had prompted them to get up from where they were in the east and to come to Jerusalem to worship the new king. That was the gift that the wise men announced on their arrival in Israel. They asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." We have seen his star and we have come to worship him. In order to receive the blessings of the kingdom, you must bring to the Lord the gift that God requires. The gift of worship. The gift of worship is what God requires. And so now we return to the question with which we started. What are the requirements for receiving the blessings of the kingdom? In order to receive the blessings of the kingdom, you must come seeking the king. You must come just as those wise men came 2,000 years ago. They came a great distance with one purpose in their heart. They came to worship God's new king. They saw the star, they took the journey. They found the king, and they worshiped him. And that's what we must do. We must recognize the signs that God gives us. And then we must come to the place where God can use us. So we must take the journey. We must bring to the Lord the gift that God requires. And that's true worship. That's true worship. When we come to with worship in our heart, we can claim the promises of the kingdom. The promise of the kingdom is that although we may be mournful, we shall be comforted. The promise of the kingdom is that although we may be meek, we shall inherit the earth. The promise of the kingdom is that if we are merciful, we shall receive mercy. The promise of the kingdom is that although sometimes we hunger and thirst for righteousness, we shall be filled. The promise of the kingdom is because we are pure in heart, we shall see God. The promise of the kingdom is because we are poor in spirit, and in spite of our persecution, the kingdom of God is ours for the asking. So I want to receive God's kingdom. That's why I come each week seeking God's kingdom. What about you? Don't you want to receive God's kingdom? Don't you want to come and seek the King of God? As we stand now, as the choir begins to sing us a hymn, let's prepare our hearts and minds for prayer as we can give to God that one gift that he requires from us, the gift of worship and praise. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord.
Precious Lord, linger near when my life is almost gone. Hear my cry, hear my call. Hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.
As the choir continues to sing, I invite the entire church to approach the altar for prayer.